all this time, Porter. Everything you've done, everything you've said, I've heard all about. So you've made some remarks in the past about when is Papa Fritz going to be here. Papa Fritz is here.
Where we look at world-class championship wrestling on the network. I'm Pete, and I'm joined with Kelly and Johnny. Kelly, how you doing?
Doing great as always, brother.
That's awesome, man. What about you, Johnny? Doing all right?
I'm doing pretty good, and I just want to say out there, suddenly a former partner, a podcasting partner of ours, suddenly showing a lot of interest in the old wrestling we used to do. I'm wondering if he's angling for a... he's angling for a comeback, you know?
I think he's just scratching that itch, but we'll see.
His third marriage didn't work out. He needs something to do again.
It's on the rocks.
Be
on the rocks.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? You want to talk about the Grand Wizard? What?
You're going to have to wait until we're done with the world class, Parv.
They did a prenup, so the only way Parv thinks of whether they can break it is if he starts watching wrestling.
And maybe podcasting again.
Oh, God.
Who knows what the next decade holds for us, huh?
It's one thing about wrestling. You can give it up. I'm sure we've all hit our rut where we got to step away from it. But we're always drawn back into it in some form or fashion. It's hard to stay away once you're a fan.
Yep, it's crack.
And totally. It's not like Parv is like going to embrace the new product anyway. So that's not what's going to bring him back. It's stuff that's already there. So it'll always be drawn to the guy.
All right.
All right, man. Well, let's look at the current episode. That's September 24th, 1983. Blah, 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 blah. I really liked how they opened up with Mercer really putting over the spike, the Oriental spike. They're doing a really good job of laying the building blocks of Gordy's new weapon. I'm really impressed. I hate to say it, but yeah, it's something you really need to do. You gotta beat it over the head of the viewer a lot of times to get things over and to educate the fan. And that's exactly what they're doing here with the Oriental spike. Well, what are your thoughts on this, Kelly, on the cold open?
Get that move over. That's important. They're really focused on that. So I don't know what this is leading to. I know about a few of the matches that are coming up in 1983, but I don't know what's going to happen with Gordy and the spike. So I'm interested.
What about you, John? Are you liking the way the progression of the angle with the spike?
Oh yeah, they're definitely putting over as a major killer move. And but Billa is wearing a green sports jacket with a green background. It's something. It's some choice. When he went to his tailor, did he say, "What do you have in pea soup?" It's exactly what it looks like. It's the terrible colors. Ugh.
Well,
can do a green screen on this with just his head because everything else is green.
Well, it's the 80s, brother. I mean, there's a lot of bad attire. I mean, we've seen Fritz dress like we've seen him look like a janitor at one point. We've seen him look like an ageless disco dancer at other points. There's a lot of chest hair back in the 80s. I'm not going to – I've seen outfits my parents put me in, so I'm not going to judge Bill Mercer. Gentleman Chris Adams versus Buddy Roberts opens this up, Kelly. What are you thinking here?
This was kind of a weird match, I think. First, you have the intros, and you have the kids around the ring trying to get autographs, and a bunch of little kids run up to Buddy and, like, shake their fists at him. I thought that was great. And one in particular, like, That was kids right in his face.
Now, here's a question. Have you noticed, like, the Sportatorium feels like it's more kid-friendly shows, while the other, the Tarrytown, where they do the Saturday night tapings, Fort Worth, a lot more. It seems like the Sportatorium is more of a morning show for the kids, and, I mean, it still has good wrestling and stuff and good angle progression, but there doesn't seem like, even the pops from the, rather, doesn't seem as kid oriented the crowd chants at the Fort Worth tapings.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. The Sportatorium shows were probably taped earlier in the day. Fort Worth was for the later night crowd.
And the later night TV audience, as we found out, 10 to midnight. Yeah. This is the show. We're watching the show that gets sent out on the Christian network, and it's probably an early time slot, and that's why they want it to be kid friendly for that, and they love being kid friendly because you're constantly having all these kids all signing the autographs. That's been a staple of this show since before it was on the Christian network. You know, and all the kids come down to get their autographs.
And it's cool because they also are able to build two audiences. They're building their hardcore. They're showing up. And a future audience with the kids, so I mean that's too double. That's a lot more. People don't realize how important those kids having those kids in the audience are.
Yeah, it's a totally different show. Yeah, for sure. Anyway, this match. Well, you have a long shine by Adams, and he's working over Buddy's arm early. They collide head to head in the middle of the ring. And at one point, I thought that was going to lead to Buddy getting heat, but it didn't really. Adams hit the super kick and then like this three-quarter pile driver. And then he goes up to the top and he slips attempting a move off the top rope. And this is what leads to Buddy getting heat. So that's why I said this was a weird match. It's strange.
I think legitimately, because I don't know if you noticed, Adams' mouth is busted open on that headbutt spot. I think he got knocked loopy. And that was probably set up the heat. He got confused, went up to the top and got all fucking goofy and slipped. And they audibled it from there. That was a nasty bump. I just think it might have been a complete change of pace. I'm not sure, but I mean, we don't know, but it felt like he got knocked pretty damn loopy, and I think he went up top and he slipped on accident because of the hit he got.
But real quick, since you're talking about this little sequence that fascinated me as well, I was like, they've started establishing the super kick as a finisher, but just not quite yet. I'm like, super kick, tombstone pile driver, and now he's going for the flying body press or a flying drop kick? You know, and then he falls. So, you know, the match was booked to be a draw. We'll talk about that in a minute. And so this had to be meant to be the middle sequence of this draw. And it's crazy. That's like finisher move spam. It's nuts.
It's just weird. It's basically the babyface screwing up leads to the heel getting heat. I can only think of one other match that I've ever seen. It's from the late 70s, 79. It's Backlund and Johnny Valiant, sorry, at the Spectrum. We didn't watch this for Titans. It's a crazy match because I don't know if you've ever seen it, but no. Johnny wrestles the first 14, 15 minutes of the match with his ring jacket still on, and Backlund's on top the whole way for 15 straight minutes. And the only way that Backlund loses control is that he's attempting some sort of leg twist or something, and he does this tumble and ends up knocking himself loopy. And that's how Johnny Valiant finally gets heat. So that's a weird one. And
To be fair, that's the only acceptable way for me to have Johnny Valiant somehow be able to get heat on Bob Backlund. Yeah, it just Bob would have to screw up because Johnny Valiant's terrible.
Yeah, but that's a really weird match with the jacket being on for 15 minutes and then the way that Johnny gets heat.
I mean, Bob, let's really be fair. Bob's a great worker, but he can make very weird choices at times. So
yeah, well, that was like the epitome of Bob's strange choices. Anyway, that's the only other match I can think of where the heel gets heat by a babyface screwing up a move. So yeah, this was weird, and of course it goes to a draw, as is almost every week on the Sportatorium opening match show or match on the show. Yeah, just
the draw is a total trope at this point.
No, this draw
it feels
was
like we get him at least one out every two shows.
This draw was a goddamn outrage. Johnny fucking Mantell can beat Buddy Roberts, but not Gentleman Chris Adams. Fuck you, yeah. Candyman, and your nepotism. You're doing everything else great, but this shit, that's bullshit.
What do you think of the match, John, besides the bullshit?
Well, the only other thing I have to add is that I loved at the beginning, Buddy called him a limey. That made me laugh. But the only thing I really took notice of was that weird middle sequence and the fact that Johnny fucking Mantell beat fucking Buddy Roberts and not Chris Adams, who's going into a feud with fucking Jimmy Garvin. Phooey.
Yeah. I totally agree there. This was weird, but they showed a lot of stuff that, like, these guys could really have a killer match.
Oh, yeah. It was a good match.
There's a lot of stuff to like here. The headgear gimmick is like almost like perfect for Buddy, and it's like so over. I mean, the gimmick is over, and the crowd it's like instant heat immediately.
And right here, it was great as it was over and it was going to commercial. He's standing there looking all frustrated with it all sticking out of his head. And he's yelling at the referee, "Give me just one more minute and I can beat him." Thought that was cute.
And a thing in this match that I'm a huge mark for is I love that running hammerlock spot where we get tossed to the outside. Mm-hmm. I'm a mark for that spot. Mm-hmm. I thought Adams' shine was fun. But God, then when his mouth gets busted open, it is pretty nasty. But he follows up in that, but that super kick he hits is fucking stiff.
Stiff.
And awesome looking. But yeah, there's just so much to like in the match. It falls apart because I honestly think Adams was knocked loopy or might even been concussed for all I know. Because his eyes looked, if you looked at him when he spit out the blood, it looked like he was there. But no one was home, type of thing.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what.
It seemed like he was not pretty loopy.
Yeah, I'll tell you what then, Pete. Then we need to ask the listeners who watch this stuff, take a vote. Who's more loopy in the ring tonight, Chris Adams after getting a concussion, or Kerry being Kerry? Because Kerry is fucked up in this match. We're gonna talk about later.
Then we get over to Coco Samoa versus Johnny Mantell. Kelly, what were your thoughts? I know you hate Johnny Mantell, so let's get it out of the way.
That's John Mantell.
John Mantell, sir. Don't call him Johnny.
No, I hated him at the beginning, but he's starting to warm up to him a little bit. He's a winner now. Hey. there's no turning back from this huge John Mantell push. And he's taking on Coco Samoa, Samoan.
Come on, he's not a huge John Mantell push we're getting here.
Well, if we're looking at
he
it through...
He's what he wants, and he's worked a shit ton of draws. And he honestly, let's be honest, he should be beating the Coco Samoa, who is just in for a cup of tea here.
Oh wait a minute. Yeah. You guys are forgetting something. They called him Coco Samoan. Not Coco Samoa, which is it changes the name completely. He's the Coco Samoan, like it's a descriptor. Oh, mm-hmm. God damn this promotion sometimes.
Yeah, and remember we had the Samoan in 1982. Yes,
this is his brother. Coco Samoan.
Now we have the Coco Samoan. Anyway, I do have a bit of info on him because I don't know if I've seen him before this. He's basically, to picture him, he's like a B-level, C-level Jimmy Snuka. And he's actually from Samoa. He was nearly 40 years old at this point.
Mm.
And there's no records of him on wrestling data anyway until 1976. So he's already in his early 30s at that point. So that'd be strange if that's when he got into wrestling, but who knows. I worked mostly Western Canada and Portland. In the late 70s, Portland, Vancouver, and Stampede. Then he did a tour of the Southern Territories in the early 80s and was pretty much always Coco Samoa. He was always Samoa, not Samoan. And he actually wrestled in Memphis from 82 to 84 as Sabu the Wild Man.
Yep.
Oh, I remember him. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Continental. Yeah, so I guess I've seen, Continental too, probably. I've seen that. I've seen Sabu the Wild Man.
Yeah.
And then he went full circle by the end of the 80s. He was back in Portland. And that was, of course, a dying territory at that time. And he passed away in 2007. So that's Coco Samoan. And I don't know how many. I think he's here for a few months, so we may see him again. And, yeah, here we go. John Mantell on a hot streak. They take it to the mat for quite a long period, actually. More mat work than we've seen in a match in a long time, it seems like, anyways. Mantell likes to work the mat. And
well, you know, he came from he came up in pretty much in the Shire territory. And that's where he really started out, and which was with Patterson and those guys working, did a lot of mat wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it shows that's his pedigree for sure. And he hits a flash Russian leg sweep for the win. This is a pretty dull match, though. I mean, who cares about Coco Samoan?
Hey, let me tell you something about that Russian leg sweep. Brad Armstrong, he ain't.
Yeah, it was a little clunky. But anyway, the John Mantell super push continues. And so here we go.
I thought the match was fun. It wasn't blowaway or anything. I enjoyed Mantell's mat work because it's different. Because we're really not getting a whole lot of mat work, per se. Here we get Texas is more about the brawling and the hate, and so Mantell on the mid card working these type of matches, it works for me because it's different than what we're getting from most of the wrestlers and stuff. What about you, John? What are you feeling about this match?
Well, Bill during the intros calls the Coco Samoa. He's like, certainly a swarthy man, like in a complimentary tone. Like he doesn't know what swarthy means.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and again, when they announced that Mantell's from Monte County, Texas, you know, Bill again is very, oh, well, that's really far out there. That's real Texas country. It's like, this is every fucking time. And I went, guys, you mentioned that was Sabu. I had no idea. I mean, how would I know? But I do remember that guy. But here, you know, and the camera's getting a shot of him. I was like, this guy looks exactly like Worf's brother on Next Generation in Deep Space Nine. If you guys, any of you who watch Star Trek, the guy who played Worf's brother looks just like him in the face. And hey, maybe he started late. Didn't Snuka start late, too?
Yeah, kind of.
Maybe it's because once you're too old to do the cliff dive and shit for the Taurus, you hit the wrestling circuit.
Yeah, and, there's something to that.
And there was this Calhoun in this who sucks. And because they do this spot where Coco Samoa has John Mantell in a leg lock. And when the ref's not looking, as if it's cheating, he's putting pressure on the leg lock. And he's like, oh, it hurts. And he gets around and he goes, what are you doing? And he's pretending he's not doing it anymore. I'm like, he's not cheating. That's not cheating. You're allowed to pull on the leg. And then he bit it. And I'm like, okay. But first he was just, they did that spot twice. Where somehow it was illegal that he was twisting his ankle the way it was. And I was like, what? And then Calhoun, Coco Samoa cheats right in front of the referee, like stomps him. And the referee warns him, Calhoun does. And he does it again because, you know, he's a savage. And Calhoun goes, hey, what are you doing? Don't hit him. I'm right here. I was like, ugh, you're the worst. And Mantell went for a flying body press that he bounced off of him. So it kind of looked like he was doing, you know, Manny Fernandez's move accidentally. So, yeah. Oh, then at the end, there's more of the Professor Singh Fu bullshit. And Bill forgot the name. He calls him Professor Sung Lee.
Sung Lee.
Sung Lee. Oh, he can't even remember his own nonsense.
The other thing about Coco Samoa here is I thought he was pretty athletic because he looked like he was going up really well for a lot of Mantell's like slams and stuff, like making it really easy for him.
He's not bad. He's not bad.
Yeah, the most I remember him is, I remember him in Memphis for a run. I remember him Continental because Sullivan brought him in, brought him and the other one in. I think they were called the Headhunters. I can't remember exactly what they were called, but
That rings a bell.
So they had a really fun brawl against the Armstrongs and stuff. They actually did good business for did solid business for Continental. On top of Sullivan and stuff. So that's pretty much what I remember from them. Terry Gordy versus Ken Johnson. Do you have anything on this guy, Kelly?
That's a challenge.
He's been on before.
Oh,
because I wasn't sure. Actually, I was like, "Have we seen him?" And then I went to type his name into the search bar, and it already came up. Like it recognized it. So I've searched his name in the past. So I'm assuming it was for World Class.
Well, I would hope so.
But yeah, it's hard to tell. Ken Johnson, the name kind of rings a bell, but
it does remind. Yeah, he does sound familiar to me.
Yeah, I think he was
too. You know.
Yeah, I mean, but he's, you know, pasty and flabby.
Yeah.
Curly hair and beard, pretty much a total jobber look for that time.
Or period. They could put on under a mask and put him in Devastation Incorporated at this point.
Yeah, that was maybe considered at one point. Anyway, it's what you'd expect. Gordy totally mauls him. Although he starts the match with a headlock on him, which was kind of a strange choice, I thought. And then he just decides, oh, right, I'm supposed to squash this guy. And Johnson got a brief comeback before succumbing to the spike. And give Johnson credit, he sold the spike like he was choking to death. It was really, I thought, a really good sell job, actually.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, like as it went away or we went to commercial, he was still like struggling to catch his breath. So, yeah, that was good stuff. But it's just a squash match.
Yeah, I think I want to say I met this guy when I went to the WWE, not WWE, when I went to the Wichita Falls Hall of Fame a few years ago.
Oh, really?
I think I met this guy in an alley.
That doesn't surprise me, Johnny. I thought they did a great job with the spike here. Of course, we talked about the selling, but the commentary. You know, they're not known. World Class is not known for great commentary, but what they're doing here on putting over the spike on commentary and then in the actions of Johnson here in this match is very good. Normally we're ranking him over the coals, Bill Mercer, but I feel like he's done a good job of getting the spike over on his end. What about you, Johnny? What are you feeling on this thing?
Well, I agree with all that, except at the end of this match where he forgets it's called the spike and goes, the thumb! Got him with the thumb! Or...
Oh, see, I didn't even notice that. Okay.
He called it the thumb, and then he goes, or then he pauses, he's like, or the Oriental Spike, as Professor Sing Fu would call it. I was like, oh boy, the thumb. And then, because in the beginning, he's like, he's just saying... We know it was, we strongly suspect it was taught to him by Professor Sing Fu, but Gordy won't admit it. It's like, well, why wouldn't he admit it? Why would it be a secret? I don't know. I just think it's all nonsense. But that's what he calls it, the thumb. He goes, it's his thumb, but it's not like the green thumb that you would plant with, you know, but he'll plant that in your throat. So he already set that joke. Made him call it the thumb 5 minutes later. He shouldn't do this. And that's really all I wrote down. I mean, I was surprised it went as long as it did, but then I remembered, no, back then you'd have stuff like that where the heel would go, well, I'm going to do at least one legal wrestling move, you know, to start this thing and the headlock or whatever, and then immediately just, fuck it, and just cheat and beat the shit out of him. But they let Ken Johnson show a little fire, you know, hitting Gordy really hard. Gordy not selling it, but he at least got to try.
And then this transitions into a Kevin promo. What do you think of the promo, John?
Well, let's see. Okay, because I'm going to talk about the main event where Kevin and Carrie are going to team up against Devastation Incorporated to continue this riveting new feud we have here on World Class. And he gets to one point, because it's kind of Kevin being Kevin, but he gets to one point where he goes, you know, man, there's lots of people who want to get there in the ring with Devastation Incorporated, you know, and Iceman volunteered, and, you know, Tom Johnson volunteered, but I said, no, I'm going to team up with Kid Carrie to get my hands on him. I'm like, Yeah, of course you would. You're Kevin and Carrie. You think someone else is going to go, hey, can I do it instead of Kevin? No? Oh, thanks. Of course it'd be Kevin. And that was kind of it. He was like, we're going to get Devastation Incorporated and teach them what for. You know, it was fine.
Yeah, the one thing you didn't mention was how Kevin kind of shit-canned they talk about David's injury at the hands of the spike.
Oh, yeah.
And Kevin's like, but he'll be back, you know, doesn't even make him a vulnerable character coming
back. No. What he said was, yo, David's just hurting him, but it's just going to be for a little while. But, you know, the person who did it, I'm not even going to. I can't remember what he says, but he basically says, I'm not even going to dignify him.
I'm not going to give him the benefit. Not even give him the benefit of saying his name.
Yeah, I'm not going to give him the dignity of even acknowledging his name, so we'll just move on from that. You know, like, that's weird in wrestling. That's weird in wrestling to not be like, Terry Gordy, I'm going to beat your ass. No, I'm not even going to mention your name. That'll show you, you big dummy. You know, it's weird.
Yeah, I totally agree. What about you, Kelly?
Yeah, pretty much a par for the course Kevin promo. It's nothing to get too excited about, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was for the Freebirds, man. World Class would have some just fucking terrible promo.
Dude, if it weren't for the fucking Freebirds even right now, it'd be like, boy, this show is 82-ish level, because this would be the main feud.
I mean, think about it. I mean, 80s wrestling, talkers would talk, I mean, angles and the promos got people into the buildings. Fuck no, these Von Erich brothers can't talk. Maybe David could. The rest of them really couldn't talk anybody into a building. God, thank God for the Birds. this leads us to a main event of Carrie Kevin versus the Mongol and Mr. Ebony, representing Devastation Light Incorporated. They've set this up from last week, so I enjoy that part. But, you know, I had no desire to see this match. I thought it was better than I thought it was going to be. Still went way too long, I thought. But what about you, Kelly? Let's get some insights from you on this one.
Yeah, well, let's see. The boys get a big shine on both Mongol and Ebony to start. And in the 1980s irony-free moment of the week, we get Mercer saying, Kevin exploded all over Mr. Ebony.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like Kelly on watching Sunshine. Baby. Yeah.
Kelly exploded into a gray gym sock.
Yes. Crowd red hot, of course. But, I mean, who really gives a crap about anything involving the Mongol?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, he's just total dead weight.
Now, I will say, I've not been a Mongol guy. He's been credible enough in tag matches that we've seen, where his tag matches haven't been the drizzling shits. I have no desire to see the guy wrestle. I don't want to see him wrestle ever again, really. But if I see a Mongol tag match, it's not like I'm cringing and stuff. I felt he's been a credible tag worker and understands tag team psychology. But he has no charisma. He stinks at the gimmick. Yeah, there's a lot of things.
Go on. Like one of the least believable foreign gimmicks of all time. Yeah, there's quite a few marks against the Mongol being a good wrestler. Anyway, Adams had a spill off the ropes earlier. Maybe the ropes were wet, something, because then Kerry in this one slips and botches an attempt at a crossbody off the top rope. But, I mean, Kerry's could have been just being Kerry. We never know.
There's other stuff in this match that goes, what the fuck is he doing?
And then Kerry finally manages to make the tag to Kevin. And eventually Kerry body slams Ebony, and Kevin comes off the top with his patented, you know, twisting splash. And that's the pin. That's the win. Mr. Ebony does the job here. Mongol has been strangely protected for most of his run. He's hardly taken a loss, actually. So what that's building to, nobody knows. I think he's got a few more months left in the territory. So, yeah, we may see his success change here not too long from now. But, yeah, this was just a match pretty much.
So, Johnny, let's put the spotlight here on your Kerry Von Erich investigation.
Okay, well, first of all, get a few little Billisms out here. Because he's talking about the Mongol not speaking any English, but then he brings up something that we didn't talk about, but happened a few shows ago, when the Mongol had someone in a hold and would ask him in perfect English, and Bill was like, oh, I guess he can speak that, and he's not doing that here, mind you. Bill brings it up. He goes like, he doesn't speak any English. Well, he does know ask him, bringing up maybe a mistake from shows ago. When the claw gets on Mr. Evan, Kevin, he goes, he's got the claw on his mask. On his mask? No, just on his mask, not on his head. But Kerry is fucking wasted in this match. Maybe the ropes are slippery. But at one point when they go for the double drop kick, and Kerry's just goofy, just really lunky in this match. You hear Kevin loudly yell to Kerry, double! And then they do it. And there's some shots where Kerry's running the ropes. And at one point, it looks like Mr. Ebony had to throw him into the ropes for real. Because Kerry hit the ropes and comes bouncing off, one leg up in the air, arms askew, with a look on his face like, what the fuck's going on? Until Mr. Ebony does a move. He's wasted. There's a close-up shot of his face in a headlock, and he is wasted here. And but it was cool. The fans rush in at the end. A fan tried to run in, and to stop Akbar from something or another. And this cop just runs over and goes, "Get the fuck out of here!" But this guy was gonna save the day for fucked up Kerry. Yeah, Kevin was great in this match. Kerry was fucking off his. This is the first time the Mongol was the worst wrestler in the match. Kerry was wasted.
Well, man, that's just unbelievable. Well, on that note, man, that's the end of the show. And if you thought last week was nothing, this felt way more than nothing. Mm. This was just really. You know, to me, the only thing they got going here was the Oriental Spike, and then Kevin tried to shit can it. No need to get the heat on the heels. This is pretty, a weekly television show. Well, any thoughts, Kelly?
Yeah, you just about summed it up, Pete. It's just a weekly show. Just totally skippable weekly TV show.
I thought you were talking about our podcast. Okay.
Well, that too. Yeah, because we have nothing really to talk about. It.
Don't listen to this one. Yeah, just wait for the next episode to drop. This is just a waste of your time, folks. At this point.
Notice, Kevin, we're not putting that message at the beginning of the show. They'll get that one right as we're ready to say goodnight.
Johnny, any thoughts on this episode?
I didn't hate it as much because I found so much fascinating bullshit in it. So when I like breaking down a bad show every now and then. So
yeah,
it's okay. No, as long as it's not boring. If I'm finding enough that's fucking making me go, what the fuck is going on here? Then that makes me happy. It's when just boring is more of a problem. But that's it.
All right. Kelly, man, anything you want to plug?
Well, I just want to remind listeners that next week will be the special requested show by Sean Emily, our biggest fan and the huge contributor to the pledge drive that we had. So, yeah, it's going to be different. I don't want to give away what we'll be watching or what we'll be reviewing. Yeah, I want it to be a surprise, but
you give him a little teaser.
A little tease.
Yeah,
it's okay. It's a show from the 21st century. That's all I would say. So, for myself, anyway, I don't think I've reviewed a show from the 21st century ever as a podcaster. I may be forgetting something, but yeah, it's definitely not in my wheelhouse of wrestling that I
and
like.
And it is on the network, so everyone can follow along. Oh,
yeah. Yes, yeah, it's definitely on the network. So there you go. Try and figure that one out.
I'll just say this. You can't see me. Oh, okay. That covers a lot of ground.
Sorrow. Anything you want to plug?
No, just that. But yeah, I'm good.
Well, follow me on Twitter at Titans of Wrestling. We'll see you when we drop that that entertaining show, hopefully, coming up. I'm looking forward to it. You guys have a great week. Bye-bye.
My heartaches and troubles are just up and gone. The moment that you come in view, and with your hand in mine, dear, I could dance on and on, and I could waltz across Texas with you. Waltz across Texas with you. Texas with you, like a storybook ending, I'm lost in your charms, and I could waltz across Texas with you.